Today, I'm going to read from NLT, from our scripture area, the scripture that we're going to be in Philippians. But open your Bibles, flip to Philippians. We've been going through Philippians for a bit.
What did you get?
Okay, there we go. So Philippians chapter 4. Verse 10. You can follow along in your Bible, or feel free to look up there. It is from the New Living Translation that I'm doing it from. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live in almost nothing, on almost nothing, or with everything. I have learned the secret of life in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on for Macedonia. No other church did this. Verse 16. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs with his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen. Stay in Philippians with me. We're going to go through this text together a little bit more and talk about a few different topics together. Something I was thinking about when you were doing that song, when we were singing this morning, when the team was going through. I took a picture because I knew that I would forget. I praise his name. Let all his wondrous works declare his praise. And as we go through Philippians here too, God chose Paul to do the work that he had for him. He chose for the Philippians to give to Paul. And it was a good gift that they gave Paul. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for these words that we just heard together in Philippians. And I thank you that we know that we can stand on your word. Amen. That it will never bring on truthful things. Mm-hmm. It will always be true, and we can always look back to it for guidance, for reproof, for correction, for salvation, for hope, for joy, for peace, and to know your sovereignty, to know your grace. And I just ask that as we go through this, that we would understand what you want to teach us. So that we can better commune with you as we live out this walk and this journey that you've put before us. Thank you, Father, for each person that is here, young and old. Thank you for the little ones specifically downstairs that are being able to hear the word and be taught the word by those leaders that you have saw fit to do so. I thank you, Father, that you've given me this opportunity now to share with the church, your truth. Open our hearts and minds and hearts as we study together. In Jesus' name, amen. So Philippians. We've been going through Philippians for a bit. I know that we're coming to a close. We're getting to the end of Philippians. Won't be much longer, and we'll be moving on to other books of the Bible. I do believe that there's lots more things that we could come back to in here. I really do. I was listening to a sermon yesterday with Rachel, with Nancy Lita Moss. Not a sermon, but she was doing a teaching. She preaches to women. That's her ministry. And I was the man listening in, and it was good. And it spoke to my heart and spoke to Rachel's heart. It was good truth that she was talking about. She was talking about pride, and she had about 40 different examples of areas of pride in our life. And yeah, it was convicting. And as well, sometimes we can have things that are convicting to us, and then we just go, okay, well, I'll just set that aside now. Yeah, I know that maybe I should change that, or I should make a difference by, or make a change specifically there, but we just set it aside and then we move on. But the Spirit does prick our conscience, and we do need to make sure that we confess our sins. And you're talking about revival earlier, and that is how revival happens, that we actually confess our sins within the church. The church is revived, is coming back, it's coming alive. That's what happens in revival. That's what it is. The church is coming alive. They're realizing what they may have not been doing that they should be doing, and they're seeing we must go this direction. So revival is good, and I thank the Lord that I was able to listen to that yesterday with my wife. In our opportunity, we actually ran to Cranbrook is what we did. We ran into Cranbrook very quickly. We had to grab something, so we went in quickly, and on our way back, we grabbed a coffee, and I grabbed the coffee as I normally do when I'm driving. So I pick up the coffee, and as I go to take a sip, the lid pops off, and I grabbed it. We weren't going that fast, so it was maybe 40 kilometers, so it was okay. If we hit somebody, it wouldn't have been so bad. But it didn't spill. I was like shocked. I like felt hot. It was like the weirdest thing. I was like, I'm sure that it spilled on me because my legs feel really warm. So I don't know if I started to sweat out of nowhere or what. But it didn't spill, so I'm like, okay, I'll just put the lid back on, set it in the cup holder, and then set the lid back on. And I don't know, like a minute later, I go to take another drink. Well, the lid pops off. This time it goes all over. It's down in between my legs, and I wasn't the happiest camper. So I quickly pulled in somewhere, and yeah, I felt pretty frustrated and irritated that I was quite soaked, and we had to drive back here, and I was all wet. But yeah. So, anyways, I had a warm leg trip for a period of time, and then that didn't last so long. What did you say? Oh, yeah. So, anyways, a portion of the coffee was good. Last week, I had brought up the need of thankfulness after putting all our cares before our God. We need to leave prayer time thankful, praising our Lord in our time of need, not complaining of all the anxieties after we have come to God in prayer. And it's easy to do this. I've done it before. I've done it many times where I pray and then I go, oh, I need to go talk to somebody else, or I need to talk to the same person that I was just praying with about the situation. I've done it with my wife, done it with others. But we need to leave with thankfulness after we pray to the Lord. And that is earlier. Last week, if anyone wasn't here, it was off of Philippians chapter 4, verses 1, 2, 9 is where we were going off of. And we got to see a little bit of God's attributes in the midst of that as well. Our minds should be thinking praiseworthy thoughts. When we get anxious, it proves to us that our minds are not set right. And we need to reset our minds. That is another thing that I'm hoping to dig in with you guys at another point, is having the right mind. We've talked about that a bit too, having the mind of Christ, but we need to make sure that our minds are set on what is pure in God's eyes. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, I'll read that to you, Philippians 4:8, if you have your Bibles. Philippians 4:8, this is now from the ESV, English Standard Version. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Paul compels us to rejoice. Two times in Philippians 4:3, he says, I need to remove my other Bible here. Philippians 4:3, he says, let's get to it. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. We need to look at the importance of this. He didn't say it just because. He said it for a reason. We do need to rejoice in the Lord because we do have many trials that come against us, whether that be physical, whether that be loss of money, whether it be loss of job, whether it be loss of a sibling, whether it be loss of a child, whatever situation it may be, we need to rejoice in the Lord. And it can be difficult to rejoice in the Lord when we have weights against us. But that is an opportunity for us to come to God, to look to Him for strength. So don't be afraid to come to Him in your trials and pray. Give it to Him. And then think about His attributes, His nature. Is a little bit of what's going on here in Philippians 4:8 too. So think about those things. Dig deeper into your word. Think, what is true? How is He true? Who is true? And dig deeper into the scriptures. So, points that I would like to get to this morning is gift giving and provision. And then the other one is, so why a gift? And this is to do with the Philippians. Why would they give a gift as they have done? And not only once, but many times. And then I wanted to give 5 points off of that. Not points, just kind of reasons. 5 different reasons why the gift. So gift giving, provision, and why a gift. And then 5 reasons why that gift. If we can financially give, we should give. If we can give of our time, we should give. They're both giving. They're both gifts that we can give back to people, and God sees it as good in His eyes. All this should be done with a grateful heart. Not only should we give from our finances, if at all possible, but we should give of our time. As I've just said, Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others, which we've been talking about while going through Philippians. And then the other thing is do you remember the fruits of the Spirit? Would you hold your finger in Philippians and flip to Galatians 5:22-26? I'm sure many of you have grown up with this, hearing this, maybe singing it, memorizing it. Philippians 5:22. Maybe you haven't. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We must work together. Work together for the kingdom cause. We have an example in our Savior. And we need to live out the example of Christ. An example that He has given to us in Himself, who though He was born in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Excuse me, that's from Philippians 2:6. So He became a servant. Let us read together Philippians 2:5-7. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He dwelt with man. Christ dwelt with man. He was God. He is God. And we should live to give as Christ lived to give, to the point of death. Whether that be with our own time or with money. Some may give to a sister in Christ who needs time to read. I'll give you a few examples actually right now. I'm going to give you a few examples that I've thought about and had in my own life, done, whatever. Some may give to a sister in Christ who needs time to read her own Bible. You may see a sister in Christ and think she's not spending time in the Word. Is there a possibility that I could come to her house and help her? There may be other sisters in here that have done this before. Maybe think about doing it, where you can go to her house because she's busy. She's busy with her family. Her husband's working. He's got a lot of hours. She's busy. And she's struggling in her own time in the Word. And you think, I could go there and I could help her. I could sit with her kids and play with her kids while she goes off and reads her Bible. Maybe you've done this before where she's just the lady, the mother of the children, has gone for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, and just read her scriptures. You've given her the opportunity where she could spend time in the Word. You saw that she was lacking in that area. You saw that she needed to spend time in the Word, and you thought, I can help her. This is time. You're giving time. You're giving of your time. Maybe you've helped tutor children in math as a gift. You may say, I am going to help someone fix their brakes as a gift. You may believe you should give a gift to missions. You may believe you should give a gift to your pastor in the form of furniture. These are all good gifts. They're gifts that you're giving to someone, but God does see them when you are living in the light and walking in the light, and you see the people in front of you. And you will see people in front of you. You will see the needs that people have because you're looking for the needs. Paul wanted to go out and help the orphan and the widow. He was sent out, but they said to him, remember the orphans and the widows. But that was already his desire. So we need to make sure that we are giving good gifts to those who need them. Whether that be in the congregation as well, if you believe and see that you need to tithe in a certain way or tithe more, whatever it may be, God sees you and knows you, and that gift will be used for the purpose of God. Let all his wondrous works declare his praise. Again, the song that we sang earlier. And they will declare his praise, his wondrous works. As I have told you before, right after we moved to Creston, our entire student loan was paid off. Maybe there's others here who haven't heard this story before, but the whole thing was paid off. Someone had felt compelled to give to us, and they wanted to give that to us as a gift. We do not know who they were. Their names were left anonymous. And when we went to Bible college, we knew that it was the place we were to go. We knew that the Lord was leading us there. We knew that we were going to go through trials. We did go through trials. But the person who gave that gift to us after getting out of Bible college and having debt in the sense of student loans gave a good gift because it was what we needed. They agreed in some form. I've never met them, but they agreed in some form that our ministry was good, that it was purposeful, that it was something that they wanted to give to. Paul's ministry was purposeful. It was something the Philippians wanted to give to because they benefited from it themselves. And this family, whoever it was, or one person, I don't know what it was, felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to give to us. And it helped us in many ways. In Philippians 4, 6 to 8, before Paul takes us into the point of contentment in 4:10, in 4:11, actually, where it is, where he talks about being content. Paul reminded us to think about what is good. As I brought up to you earlier, to pray, to meditate on everything good, and to think about anything worthy of praise. God is the one who is worthy of all praise, and we should think about his goodness in order to keep a clear mind in Christ. Then, our brother Paul leads us perfectly with his letter. He's writing it out, and the Philippian church reads it out, and he leads us into 4:9. I just want to read it with you guys. What you have learned and received and learned and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Look at what you have learned. We too can take the same fact for ourselves. We're not in this time, but we can take what he's saying as well for ourselves. Look at what you have learned, received, and heard in me. We can see that we have learned from the scriptures. Hopefully you've learned from the scriptures. If you have not, dig into them. Dig deep into them. Spend time in them. Meditate upon them. Read them over and over again. Find out what God has for you and what he wants for you in your life. Live out what I have given you for an example, Paul is saying to them. Live for others. And along with living for others, you will have the peace of God. Paul encouraged them with what they had already been doing too. They were already doing these things. They were already living for others. Paul reminded them of the good things they have done and the compassion they had for others. In return, they proved they understood and believed what he taught by their concern for him and the gift that they had for him. Paul never taught or believed anyone could receive salvation through works. It happens at times we can start to think, oh, is he pushing works? Is he agreeing that works righteousness is something? No. Paul reminds us of what he believed and what was true of his salvation. Philippians 3:8-9, let's read. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from God, that comes from the law, but that which comes from faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Paul does not encourage his Philippians forward in their own righteousness, but the righteousness they have found in Christ. He praised God for their concern for him. He was thankful, praising the name of the Lord. Let's read 4:10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Then he makes it very clear in Philippians 4:11 with what he is content in. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. He's not content in man, he's content in God. He was able to be low, he was able to abound in whatever trials he would face, knowing how to face plenty, hunger, abundance, and need. As you read on in Philippians 4:12, you'll see this. Because his satisfaction was in Christ. Remember, he counted everything as loss compared to what he had in Christ. So we just read a little bit ago in 3:8. Something that I read in Warren Wiersbe's commentary, it stated, contentment comes from adequate resources. I'm going to read that again. I had to read over this a couple times just to get it in my brain. Contentment comes from adequate resources. Our resources are provided of God, the power of God, and the promises of God. These resources made Paul sufficient for every demand of life, and they can make us sufficient too. I want to read it one more time again. Contentment comes from adequate resources. Our resources are the providence of God, the power of God, and the promises of God. These resources made Paul sufficient for every demand of life, and they can make us sufficient too. His focus here is on God. It's not on the physical thing being given. Those are good, and they are good gifts, and they are to be used. But the focus here is pointing to God. God is good, and we can be content in Him, and He will bring the provisions that we need when we're doing His will. There's a relationship going on, and then we can go out and share the gospel. We can go out and do whatever God has put before us. Three questions that I kind of have for us to think about at this moment. Are you content in God? Are you content with situations He has placed in your life? And then third, ask yourself if you have a healthy view of God. I'll give you the answer to this one, though. So two questions, other two questions. I'm going to say them again. Are you content in God? Are you content? So second one, are you content with situations He has placed in your life? And then the third one was, ask yourself if you have a healthy view of God. So the answer to that one is, if you fear the Lord, you have a healthy view of God's sovereignty. If you fear the Lord, you have a healthy view of God's sovereignty. Our God is such a good provider. Is He not? He knows every one of our needs. Your God, our God, my God, cares deeply for us. He bends low to the humble and contrite of heart. So, now we're to this other point. So why the gift? If Paul has found full contentment, why does he need this specific gift? Why does he need to be given a gift? Sometimes we give gifts on birthdays. I know we sang happy birthday today. There's a couple birthdays going on. Birthday today and then throughout this week. But we can give gifts at this time. There's nothing wrong with them. Valentine's Day, Father's Day, Mother's Day, Christmas, and so forth. This gift Paul speaks of is not that sort of gift. This gift is a different gift. And it came from concern. And we can see that in verse 10. Indeed concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me. And just before that, you have revived your concern for me. It has been revived. The Philippian gift was not to fulfill his greeds. And Paul did not compel them to give. It wasn't Paul that said, you must give to me. I'm doing ministry. You need to provide for me while I go out and do the ministry. You need to give me while I go out and set up churches. You need to give me while I go out and help the poor. He wasn't saying, you must give to me. We must not do the same either. But there is a healthy way to encourage people to give. But Paul does not compel them. Paul knew they were always concerned for him. He believed it. He knew it. None of us should give gifts out of compulsion. Because in so doing, we may only give because of an emotion or a feeling for someone. We should give because we are compelled not by man, but by the Spirit that compels us to give. That's why the Philippians gave to Paul, because they were compelled by the Spirit. The Spirit did a work within them to give to Paul. Philippians 10. Let's read it once more. 4:10. 4 verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Again, as I said, Paul was not praising the Philippian church so that they could boast in their own giving or make them think that they had obtained salvation by their gifts. No, he praised them because from the beginning they partnered with him in the gospel. Philippians 1:5, which says, in the gospel from the first day until now, they had partnered with him. They saw a need and fulfilled that need. Their mind was set on the things, on things, on thinking. They were set on others, on giving to others. They were set, their minds were set on thinking about others and living for others. They thought about another brother doing God's work and came alongside with gifts. When no other church entered into partnership with Paul, when he left Macedonia in verse 15, as you can see there, they did. Along with when Paul was stationed in Thessalonica, they cared for him time and time again. That's from verse 16. Philippi gave to Paul. They lived for others, not for themselves. The Spirit compelled and they gave. They saw Paul's ministry, benefited spiritually from it, and knew it was what they were to give to. They saw a man just like anyone else and understood what they needed to do. Paul praised them in their gift giving and their partnership in the gospel alongside Paul. So that was one thing. The second thing, the Philippians wanted to give to Paul because they loved Paul. They felt loved by Paul. Paul loved them and urged them to press on to the upward call, to the prize. That's from Philippians 3, 14 to 15. Their comfort was in their Savior. They knew Paul's life and wanted to give because their own minds had been set on sacrificially giving to others. Their influence in giving to Paul was not through a compelled man, by some outward presentation, as I talked about earlier, or a really good speech on giving. No, their influence in giving was the work of the Spirit on their hearts. I know I've said this again, but I'm saying it again. It was the work of the Spirit on their hearts to give. No man influenced them to give at any point. Because of their giving, Paul was well cared for. For the Philippians reaped the fruit of the giving. As Paul states, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That's from verse 19, from 4:19 here. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God will look after every child that is in his will, physically and spiritually. It may look different on how that works out, as Paul learned to live in little and lots, but God will care for you. This reminded me of 2 Peter that we've gone over before, 2 Peter 1, 5-8, that I talked with you a while back. Some of you who weren't here didn't hear it, but it said, I'm just going to read it to you. "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's a lot going on there. Everything's true. But when we're doing God's will, we can grow, and we keep growing. We mature. The Philippians walked in a way that was pleasing to God, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every work, every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's from Colossians 1, 10 to 12. They shared in the partnership with Paul. Let us read verse 18. Let's read verse 18 of chapter 4 of Philippians. "I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." A fragrant offering, a sacrifice pleasing to God. In verse 18, Paul distinguishes them to the likeness of a priest, giving a good gift, a good offering. And it was a well-pleasing aroma to the Lord. I always think about it when it talks about it's a pleasing aroma to his nostrils. I can just imagine and picture. I know that we don't have no one's seen God specifically, but I can just imagine just the joy that it brings when the smoke comes up into his nostrils and he is pleased with the aroma that comes. He doesn't hate it. He loves the aroma that the Philippians have made by their giving, of a good gift to Paul. They supported him. They cared for him. The Philippians gave a good sacrifice. They were not neglecting to do good and sharing in what they had, a sacrificing, pleasing to God. You can see a little bit more of that in Hebrews 13:16 as well. Another thing, third thing here to go along with this gift. Has anyone ever farmed that's here? Here's my opportunity if you want to put up your hand. Has anyone ever farmed here? And everyone look around, see who's farmed. No, I'm just kidding. Anyone who's farmed? There's a few people who have farmed before. It's the worst thing ever to do. No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. It's good. Farming is fun. I enjoyed it at times. So with farming, I was trying to think of an analogy to go along with farming with this. So I know that we don't use ox and plow today. I've seen some people that still do it, and I think they do it a lot for effect, so people will see them in their awesomeness. And it is pretty awesome to watch when you see someone work with animals that way, or horse. But I want to bring it up to a little bit more to date. So if you have a tractor, I'm sure there's some here that do have tractors at their place. We all know that it takes fuel to run. It's pretty obvious that it needs something to keep going. It's no different than our vehicles. They need something in them to keep going. They don't just run off of nothing. But depending on the size of your field, first, so if you went to your field and you started to work your field and you're working in the stubble and you're working it down, depending on where your fuel is at, whatever it was at, let's say it's full. And depending on the size of your field, let's say you have a quarter of a tank. I don't know what you're at. Let's just estimates here. So you have a quarter of a tank roughly left over. Then you start to seed your field. And when you're almost finished, because you've only had a quarter of a tank, you had a full tank, so three quarters is gone. About a quarter of a tank you have now left. And now you're seeding your field. And you realize you will not have enough fuel to finish. I believe that everyone's thought in their first mind would be, I just put more fuel in. Which is true. And we should do that to finish work in the field. But the thing is that Paul himself was going out and doing the ministry, and he needed to be cared for. He needed more fuel. And the Philippians became that fuel for him. His hope and trust was in God, but the Philippians were that fuel for him. I think about Christ himself when he was doing his ministry, and there was different people that provided for him at times. They gave to him. They gave to his need. And the disciples, when they went out as well, there was different ones that provided for them. They cared for them. And the Philippians saw Paul's planting, and they knew he would never have enough fuel to finish it. So they said, let's give in what they saw. But that's not technically true because God had planted out for them. But God used the Philippians as a means. I'm going to actually leave this one. In the sense of our own time here today. I'm going to move on to the other one. We would all agree with war that it's not always the best thing. But we would all agree that when someone went to war, that they deserve pay. Would we not? We would all agree that they need to be provided for. We wouldn't agree. We wouldn't say, oh, you need to go to war, but you need to get a job and have it on the side to care for yourself while you go out and fight. It would be ludicrous. We don't believe that. But Paul himself at times did work when it was feasible for him. But then there was times that he didn't, and he was provided for. So both are okay. I mean, I don't believe that you can go to war specifically and go to get a job somewhere. But you do work in war. There are things that you do, many things that you do. But we believe that they should be cared for, as Paul should be cared for. He is, too, going into a battle. He's going out. And as anyone goes into ministry, whether that's missions or whatever it may be, you're going into a battle and you're going out to do the work of God. A little story that I read while getting this sermon together. A young pastor came to church that had been accustomed to raising this church specifically. A young pastor came to church, and this church had been accustomed to raising its annual budget by means of suppers and different things like that. He told his officers he could not agree with their program. So he said, "Let's pray and ask God to meet every need." He suggested at the end of the month, "Pay all the bills and leave my salary to the last. If there isn't enough money for my salary, then I'm the one who suffers, and not the church. But I don't think anybody is going to suffer." The officers were sure that both the pastor and the church would die. But, such as was not the case, each month every bill was paid. And at the end of the year, there was a surplus in the treasury for the first time in many years. We do not have suppers like that to gain money here to keep the congregation, to keep this afloat. That's not the way it works. But in this church, we do not do that to keep the church going, to keep it afloat. We have willing servants of God who have been compelled by God to give of their own time and of their own finances, to see others blessed and to see others come to faith. I use that example just to perk our minds to something of importance with what's happening in this book of Philippians. I told you about the war thing. And the importance of war. Something else I was thinking about with this is, When Rachel and I had first started ministry some time back, with my first planting, with my first church that I was in some years ago, our children were young, and we didn't always take, we didn't actually get anything for a time. I'll just say that. So we got a very short amount of money for a little bit, and then we just said, we can't take anymore. We said, forget it. We can't take anymore because the finances are not there. So we left it. We put it aside. The Lord cared for us and he provided for us in many different ways. We saw his provision work in many different ways through other people and other means. And it was a good thing that we went through that because we learned for ourselves how God can take care of your needs. And we learned for ourselves how we can have contentment in God. And my wife's looking at me right now thinking, are you sure you believe that fully? And actually, as I said it too, because the last while, since we've been here, there's been a few different things that we've been having to pay, different stuff with a move and different things going on. And I, my wife says to me, she says, do you believe that God will take care of this? Do you believe that he will take care of your finances and he will look out for you? You know, and there was many points when, honestly, I'll be honest with you, I was like, no, I got to do something. I must do something. There's got to be something I have to do. Well, what else can I do? I'm doing what the Lord has called me to do. So I need to look to him for the provision. And he has taken care of us. And it was, again, just another time for me to realize, she's still grinning at me, another time for me to realize how he is faithful. Always faithful. I'm going to bring it together with you guys. We're just going to come to a close here. Paul had found his contentment in his Savior. Have you found contentment in the saving work of Christ? Are you like a priest who gives good gifts pleasing to the nostrils of God? Are you giving of your own time and finances to God's work in order that you can reap the supply of Christ's riches? Are you seeing the fruit that comes through growth in the knowledge of God in your own life? I want to end with you with a quote from Hudson Taylor, and then we'll sing together for our last. When God's work is done in God's way, for God's glory, it will not lack for God's supply. I'll call up the worship team.
All right, I'll just invite you guys.